2 minutes on God's time. All right, we have studied the book of Romans. Romans, we are now on chapter 6 of Romans. And like I said, I got my iPad back. I got my OtterBox Defender. Now, if this thing fall, ain't gonna hurt nothing. Hey, Bob. We ain't gonna try.
No, we're not gonna try.
But we gonna set this baby right. Look at this. Oh my goodness. Look at that. Excellent. All right. So we're in the book of Romans. You got that on?
Yes.
Done. All right. Here we go. So we are on the book of Romans. We're on chapter 6. Now remember, this is the baptismal scripture. This is one we use for baptism. And I'm going to read it out of the lexicon. But first we're going to read it here and make a few comments. Now remember, what Paul does, he gives us a lineup. And what we did is we went from chapter 5. I'm going to read chapter 5. Let me read the last part of chapter 5. Let's do that first. All right. Chapter 5. Because remember, man put the chapters in. Paul is just writing a letter. All right. So now, he's talking about the offense of one and all this. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, he's talking about obedience. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Alright? So in other words, what the law is, a magnifier. Okay? It brings you to a knowledge that you're wrong. Alright? But now it's not a lord over you. Okay? You know, because, like I said before, there's many laws on the books of the nation today I'm not under that law. Yeah. It says don't drink and drive. If you blow the .08, you go to jail. Well, I'm never going to drink and drive. I'm never going to drink. So therefore, I won't be drinking and driving. So that law, really, I don't have to read that law several times. That law's on the books, but it's not effective to me. Everybody got that? It's not effective. So there's law on here. If you've never committed adultery, that law is not in effect to you. It's like it's not even there. All right? So that's what Christ did. He came, what? To magnify the law. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Remember, grace was first.
Right.
Grace was here first before there ever was. Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So he was slain way before then, even before Adam. Because remember, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now who are they talking about? Adam. That's Adam. All right? So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Who? Christ. All right? Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where we stopped last Sunday. So now we're on chapter 6 of Romans. And as we've been talking, to give a little review for some that are here today, that won't be here next week or wasn't here last week. So anyway, so we've got a background in just a minute. We were talking about circumcision and uncircumcision, but we're going through the seals upstairs, you know, and we're on the fourth seal. So we see that grace, coming up to the fifth seal, we see really how grace comes in. But now we also see that the book of Romans speaks of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all right, because he talked about circumcision. So now we're going to look and see, though. I want you to see this. This is, you say, well, this is the baptismal scripture. This is not only the baptismal scripture. This is your born-again scripture. Okay? Now, you can be baptized and not be born again. But you can't be dead and buried with Christ and not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? You can be baptized. We put many a wet or many a dry sinner in the water, and I hate this, but you bring them out and they're just a wet center. You never see them no more. They don't come back no more. Or either they go off somewhere else. But if you're truly buried in Christ, remember we were talking about the third seal. Dead. Death. That third seal. You got to be dead. Your old husband's got to be dead. And if your old husband's dead, then what? You bury him. and walk in newness of life. All right, you got the newness of life coming back up. That's what we're going to read right here. What shall we say then? Now remember, verse chapter 5, he's a continuation. He's answering his question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, people, we need to quit sinning because you think you've got grace to cover everything and you're committing iniquity is what you're doing. You're knowing you shouldn't do it and you're doing it anyway. That's iniquity.
Right.
Now we sin every day. As Christians, we sin, but that's not what he's talking about. Right here. Will we continue in sin? Are we going to continue to be an adulterer? Are we going to continue to be a liar, a cheat, steal? That grace may abound. All grace can cover me. You see, that's that once saved, always saved Baptist doctrine. That's what that is. That's a denominational idea. Once saved, always saved. But once saved, always saved, then they say you got to go to judgment and go through the tribulation. I don't get it. Like I said before, I am so proud that if no other major doctrine in this whole message ever been revealed to me, it's that I don't have to go to the judgment and I don't have to go through tribulation. I don't have to stand before the judgment seat like everybody else, and I do not have to go through the tribulation. So to me, that two things right there, if nothing else comes, that's good enough for me. But now what he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. People, wake up! You know. And he's talking to Romans, so he's talking to Gentiles.
Right.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Right? Now listen, we're not dead to sin in our body. Our body don't sin.
Right.
We sin in our spirit realm. Alright? Remember, we compartmentalized all that during the seals. If you're a sinner, you're sinning from your soul. Because your soul is born in sin, shaped in iniquity. It has a nature attached to it after the age of accountability. There's an Adamic old devil nature attached to your soul, and it blackens that soul until God comes in. Or you just stay that way. So you sin from the inward man. You sin from the soul. But now once that soul is saved, once you're dead, what? The old man dies. That nature detaches and dies.
That's right.
Christ comes in, the new husband.
Right.
All right, raises you up.
Right.
All right, makes you just as eternal as God is. So don't worry about that. Compartmentalize. Put that over there. If you're born again today, your soul cannot sin. Because John tells us. 1 John says you can't sin. Seed remaineth in you. The seed's not in your body. The seed's not in your spirit. The seed's in your soul. Because the word goes down to the soul. Amen? Ephesians, the joint and the marrow. Separate. That's what we've done. Now you can't sin it. This does not sin. This is the product of sin. This is the product of mom and daddy. But this only does what the motivator tells it to do. Okay? So if you're born again in your soul, if you're dead to sin, live any longer therein, we shouldn't be. But in our spirit realm is where we sin as Christians. Memory, reason, conscious affection, imagination. Take that home with you and study it and study it. That's my problem. My memory, my reasoning, mind, my conscience, my affection, which is not. That affection is for your wife. That affection is, oh, I love baseball. Oh, I love... You love Christ from your soul, because that is love. That's the capstone right here. Divine love. Sure, you receive the new birth down here, but this is what caps it off. But it's all divine love. Because remember what Brother Royal was talking about, and Brother Dale's been talking about. You receive the divine nature of God when you're born again down here in faith. So you receive a divine nature. Why? Your old nature's dead. So this is the soul. Now watch, the soul, then what do we do here? Where do these virtues come in? They work to the outside. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. So when we compartmentalize, I don't worry about my flesh. I just try to keep it fed. Did your friend say, don't do that. I try to keep it fed more than it needs in case something happens and I can't eat for a while. I have it in store. But all this is a outward, you know, you got see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. That's five out. That's five inlets. All right. If you're born again in your soul, you cannot sin. You cannot sin. Brother Brown said, remember I read you the quote upstairs, you can't sin enough. If you're born again, you can't sin enough to go back the other direction.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
But if you sin a bunch, if we continue in sin, then the old nature's still in there.
Right.
What Brother Brown called the old, they call it Adamic nature, but the old thing that, the root of evil. The root of evil. What root? Root is the very center of where all the nutrients come up from.
Yes.
Right? The nutrients doesn't come from the tree itself. It comes from the roots.
Right.
So the root of evil is still there. So you're still... That's why you continue in sin, because the root's still there.
Yes.
The root of evil is still in the soul. Get that dead.
Right.
Dead to sin. Move it out of the way. You don't have to worry about that. And then like Brother Dale said, let that soul start living out. Our problem is we stop the flues up. Don't blame Satan for a lot of things. We do the same. We do. Sure, but he can't work. But remember, be satisfied. He cannot work on your soul if you're born again. He cannot. Can't touch it. It's so fiery hot, he can never touch it. He has to let go. But now in your spirit realm, he can play with. All right? You say, oh, again, you say, well, no, I sent my skin sins. Your skin don't sin.
Right.
Your skin, this right here doesn't sin.
Right.
This is only a display of what's inside.
Right.
This is only what keeps everything together. All right? Because I've proved it to you before. In the Old Testament, if the priest didn't touch a woman, remember it said, if you commit adultery, we'll kill you. In the Old Testament. Well, those priests could have carnal sexual thoughts about the women, and they were fine as long as they didn't touch them. But when Jesus come along, he said, don't worry about touching them.
That's right.
He said, if you have lusted in your heart, you've committed adultery already, not with this thing.
That's right.
So the adultery, we know as human beings, we ought to know, Even as born-again Christians, that our carnality is in our spirit realm.
Right.
And then it displays with this, to have the carnal acts that we do, which is fine. Ben's undefiled. We're okay with that. All right? Everything's good. But we still are motivated by that spirit realm.
Right.
Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Okay? So, compartmentalize it. And compartmentalize it when you read Paul, because Paul's telling us, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? Paul's saying, how are we that are dead to sin? Move that over here. You're dead to sin.
Right.
Live any longer therein. He's telling the people, he says, it's what he's trying to tell them. Look, if you're born again, how'd that happen? If you're born again, if you're born again, you're not going to sin in your soul, but you're still going to have problems. Look, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Not naturally. Okay? Remember, the dead in Christ shall rise first. If you're not dead now, He ain't talking about the dead out there in the tomb.
That's right.
No, if you're dead in Christ now,
right,
you'll rise first. The dead in Christ, you'll rise first. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Another life.
Yes.
Remember, I preached a sermon not too long ago. Not two lives, two lives. There's two lives that we have to deal with, our human life and our spiritual life.
Exactly.
Right? For if we have been planted together, planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Now when they put you on a cross and crucify you, you die. There's never been anybody ever come down off a cross that was alive. They're all deceased. All right? We shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Watch this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. That the body of sin, now it's not this, because this is not destroyed when you're born again.
That's right.
The body of sin.
That's right.
You don't have two bodies inside of you, but you have a nature attached to you that makes your body do things.
That's right.
Amen? Just real simple. If you'll compartmentalize it, it makes it real simple to understand what's going on here. That we as Christians sin in our spirit realm. Can't touch the soul.
That's right.
It's done. It's finished. Listen, it's sitting in heavenly places. It's actually in another dimension. I mean, we're not sitting in heavenly places. We're sitting at the spoken word church today. But our soul, by the Bible, is sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have been raised up, right? Resurrected.
Right.
See, that's why the two people were preaching, Philetus and Hymenaeus was preaching, that Paul was saying the resurrection had already come. Because what's he doing? He's telling them, we're being resurrected. We're being brought up. We're sitting in heavenly places. They were listening to him preach. Just like people today. Listen, that's the same demon that comes up with all these strange doctrines. They hear what Brother Branham preaches and they go, what? They go preach a strange doctrine. Same thing. Well, Brother Branham said, Paul said we were resurrected. He said the resurrection's done past. No, Paul didn't say the resurrection had done past. He said we were resurrected. Sitting in heavenly places. But they took that doctrine, and you know what they did? They thought of it so much that even when Paul rebuked them, they said, we're right. So remember, Paul had to turn them over to the devil. They were so right till the person they got the doctrine from came to them and said, I'm not saying that. And they said, well, yeah, you did. We're going to keep this revelation. We're going to teach this revelation, you know. That happens all over the country, even in Jamaica, right? Same demon, different name. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, remember, we went through marriage and divorce a little bit on the third seal. If your old husband is dead, you're free to marry. You're free to marry. You have no law restriction if your husband's dead except that you marry a believer.
Right.
But only in Christ is what the Bible says. So now, in the spiritual aspect, if he that is dead is free from sin. Now look, we're not dead physically. You know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. That old nature is dead. Mm-hmm. We're free from sin. Mm-hmm. That's what you and I have to realize. Because it is a twofold thing. We live every day and we sin every day.
That's right.
But we don't sin in our soul. Our soul is just as perfect as God is. It's already resurrected. It's already took a body change. Because
yes.
We had a body right here.
Yes.
The body of sin.
Yes, we did.
But if it's dead and destroyed, look. We're going to read them down here maybe and we get to it. Excuse me. You can't accuse a dead man.
That's right.
Of anything.
That's true.
We were justified by the death of Christ. You can't blame us.
That's right.
Hello. Somebody will get that one of these days and we'll take a body change.
That's right.
Because our change is what? Already in here.
That's right.
So it's not coming from out here somewhere. It's coming from right here. All right? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him. Now that's eternal life.
That's right.
We live with it. All right?
Right.
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. He didn't have to go be dead again.
That's right.
Even we were listening to the upstairs about where Brother Branham indicted this generation for the second crucifixion of Christ. What? They put Him on a cross and killed Him.
Right.
By what? By their doctrine.
That's right.
What? The inside person.
Yeah.
You can't be alive with Christ in the soul and be lost.
That's right.
Or do what they were talking about doing. Brother Brown didn't indict the Christian. He was indicting the denominational spirit of the whole thing. Right? What'd they do? They killed Christ. That's why Christ had to come off of the mountain in Matthew and said, tell this vision to know one to what? The Son of Man be risen again from the dead. He was killed and died right here and raised. But down through the church ages, they killed him again. And today, the Son of Man is risen in me and you.
He's the Word.
Yes, He's the Word.
They feel the effect of the Word.
What's the Word made flesh? Knowing that Christ, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Now, if we are dead and buried in Christ, death has no more dominion over us. Now, what we've got to do is compartmentalize, and we've got to take that out of our soul and start into our spirit realm. Get our spirit realm to believe that.
That's right.
That those who He's justified, He's already glorified. And then all of a sudden, the body's going to change. You're not going to eat right, work out, and you're not going to get this thing ready for a body change. No.
That's right.
No. I'm sure Abraham, when he met Melchizedek, before he got his body changed, he probably had to get up out of a chair like this.
Okay.
Right.
And had to be helped down a set of stairs. And he was 99, not 50. But I'm sure that he wasn't feeling very spry the day before.
Okay.
But that next morning,
okay,
he got a body change.
Amen.
For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, he's talking to you now. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. It says in, not on. This is mortal body. So it's in your mortal body. Because remember, this thing doesn't sin.
Right.
It's a product of sin, yes, but it does not sin. This man you're looking at today used to hold things in his hand that was not good. Beard and all kind of stuff. And used to do some kind of, that one finger wave and all that stuff, but when God cleaned me up, He didn't give me a new flesh.
Right.
No, He cleaned up the flesh I got. You know what He done? He cleaned up the inside man. The inside man, the outside man just reacted to the inside man.
Yeah.
Alright? Let not sin therefore reign your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now you don't lust with your body.
That's right.
You know better than that. You don't lust with your body.
Right.
Where's it start? Right here. Memory, reasoning, conscience, affection, and imagination. Because
okay.
Remember, there's only one sense in the soul, faith or doubt.
Yeah, that's right.
Faith or doubt, that's it.
That's right.
All right, but now you come out to the next room, you got five senses that Satan can come in this way, and God's trying to work His way out this way, and they meet in that battleground.
Right.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now that's the Bible telling you this. You got to believe what the Bible's already wrote.
That's right.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. But wait a minute. Paul says, now what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? I let Satan work in my memories and conscious imagination and all that stuff. I let him do that.
That's right.
You do too.
Amen.
But we should yield ourselves to God more,
yes,
that He have the preeminence. And then even though Satan comes, you just...
That's right.
Because remember, Satan came to Jesus.
Right.
Talked to Him.
Right.
Tempted Him.
Yes,
with what? External things.
Right.
Things you could see and all the things like that.
Right.
Him being God Almighty, Satan didn't have a problem talking to Him.
That's
So don't you think he's got a problem talking to you?
That's right.
Right? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we are the servant. Look. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I like that. All right, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and read it out of the Greek lexicon. You'll see a little bit clearer what Paul's talking about. All right, ready? What then shall we say? Ought we to continue in sin that favor may abound? Sorry. By no means. How shall we who have died by sin live any longer in it? Pretty blunt. Or are you ignorant that as many as have been... I'm reading what it says. Are you ignorant that as many as have been immersed into Christ have been immersed into His death? That's verse 3, verse 4. We have therefore been entombed with Him by the immersion into that death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in a new life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in that of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin may be rendered powerless. I like that. May be rendered powerless. That we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Because you were a slave to sin. We know that. Verse 7. For he who died, listen to this, for he who died has been justified from sin. Because you can't accuse a dead man of anything. You can't go out in the graveyard and get daddy, my daddy's daddy died 70 something years ago, and you can't accuse him of robbing a bank yesterday. It don't matter what you do. You can accuse him, you walk out there and you can dig him up out of the grave and look at him face to face and say, he's dead. And if you're dead, if we're dead in Christ, where are we at, people? For he who died has been justified from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's verse 8. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer lords over it. That's verse 9. Verse 10. For the death which he died by sin once. In other words, he died for our sin.
Right.
He died as a propitiation that took all of our sins away. He died by sin once, but the life which he lives by God. That was verse 10. Verse 11. Thus also do you count yourself dead indeed by sin, but living by God in the anointed Jesus. I like that too. Which is this right now, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body in order to obey its desires. Excuse me, verse 13. Nor present your members to sin as instruments of iniquity, but present yourself to God as if alive from the dead. Because that's what you are. You are alive from the dead.
Right.
Alive from the dead, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Verse 14. Verse 14. For sin shall not lord over you, for ye are not under law, but under favor. Verse 15. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law but under favor? By no means. Verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves for obedience, his slaves you are, to whom you are obedient. Kind of explains it, doesn't it? Whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. Verse 17. But thanks to God that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that mold of instruction into which you were delivered. Mold would be what? Body. Right? Right? That doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 18. And having been emancipated from sin. What? Set free. Emancipation is set free.
Right.
I remember Brother Keith preaching on emancipation. Right? And having been emancipated from sin, you become subservient to righteousness. I speak humanly because of the weakness of your flesh. I'm going to read 19 all the way over here to 23 so we can finish this up. For as you present your members enslaved to impurity, and iniquity, so now present your members bound to righteousness for what? That said, the original says for sanctification. So we went through justification, we've gone through sanctification. Mind that to me, once you see the total plan of redemption, you see redemption in every verse, in every scripture. When the seals open and you see that God has done all this for us, it truly makes it a brand new book. Verse 20. For when we were slaves of sin, you were free as to righteousness. Because you can't be servant to both. Okay. Can't be servant to both. Look at 21. What fruit, therefore, had you at that time in things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Natural. I mean, spiritually dead, but it will take you to a grave and then you got to go to what? From judgment. But now, having been emancipated from sin and having become bound to God, you have your fruit in sanctification and the end, listen, and the end, Aionian life or everlasting life. A-I-O-N-I-A-N, life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is anointed life by the anointed Jesus our Lord. So that chapter there tells us something's got to die, and something's got to live. The only way you can be dead to sin and never come back once you've crossed that line. But you can't sin enough to be lost if you're born again. So if we get born again, then we see that it doesn't take our troubles away. I mean, we still have laws that we have to deal with. I mean, there's still things that we have to be careful. Because you got your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, which is not born again, which is not covered by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in your soul. Now, He's trying to get that. He's trying to cover it. He's trying to get you to what? Grow up in the stature of a perfect man, right? Because you do get the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get everything you need for your journey.
That's right.
The problem is we try to, I don't say strangle, but I guess sometimes you can say strangle and not let the Holy Ghost work. Yeah. We do that.
Yeah.
Amen? We must yield ourselves, members to Christ, yield our members to Christ.
Right.
And stop worrying about your soul if you're born again. Stop worrying about that. Because listen, it'll take care of itself.
Right.
My biggest problem, one more time, is my memory, what I think, what I remember. Satan reminds me what I did. God don't remind you what you did, because you know what? He can't even remember it.
That's right.
He don't even... He said, what sins are you talking about? Know the song? What sin? And that's true. And you remember I told you, several years ago I passed by a place that something happened that was not good that I did. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry for that. And you know, I'm like, you idiot. He didn't even know. He's standing right there with you going, what are you talking about? Right. Now, he said he'd forget it.
That's right.
And when he said he'd forget it, in any way you want to picture it, the only way we can, as humans, apply it would be what the psalm, what the prophet said. He puts it in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. So he quit. So don't keep, see, that's our problem. We keep going back to the old person, going, "Well, I'm sorry for all this." Don't do that.
That's
right. If you're born again, your soul's right. God's wanting to work on that thing to bring it out. He's not wanting to. He's not wanting us to sit. And that's our problem. You understand me? That's our problem. We hash up all the old things we did.
Yeah.
And we get condemned in ourself.
Right.
When Christ is sitting there going,
right.
"You're telling me this new thing that I don't know nothing about." You know what he said? Shut up!
Right.
I've done forgot that. Now you need to forget it.
That's right.
Right, I mean, really.
Yes. It always boils down into choice.
It's all choice.
Everything we do, it's,
it's all choice.
We make,
it sure is. Well, that's what Paul's talking about. Yield. Who does the yielding? Who does? Who does the yielding? You do.
That's right.
You do.
That's right.
God don't do yielding.
That's right.
He is who He is.
That's right.
We either yield ourselves to God,
okay,
or yield ourselves to the devil. God's not up there yielding Himself to the devil. Yielding. No, He don't yield. You and I yield.
That's right.
We yield one way this way, we yield one way this way. All right. So, all right, it's time to go. Things stop. Lord bless you. We enjoy the word.